My soul's recovery began when I first heard about and read the book of Job. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, especially when I read the book of Job, the scripture that's Job 38:3-5. For I will demand of thee, and answer you me. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you know or have understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? It really minimized all of my concerns with how I looked, if I could wear high heels or not again. It's important to focus on his word and that clarity of the fact that my concerns were so minute compared to this huge Savior who allowed me to understand and to learn to read his word and adhere his word to my life, especially when you're in a nobody teaches you how to become disabled. Nobody teaches you what to do or how to act or how to take it all in emotionally. And it was only when I sought God, it was only when I read the full book of Job and started really contemplating and praying and asking God to open up my understanding that I finally was able to understand that it's so much larger than me. It's not about me. It's so much more than I remember the first time I started going to Grace Bible Church, and I told Pastor Jesse, my Savior is huge. And I had never, ever considered that previously. I considered it, let me stay on track here. I began to get out of the way and let go of my self-image. I now thank God and consider it a blessing to be physically disabled. The experience he allowed has opened up my heart and my mind by teaching me invaluable lessons like what his will is, how to do his will, and that he loves me, not my sin, placing my concerns at his feet, and so much more. Jehovah Nisi, our banner, our banner of love and protection. He protected me, he kept me, he saved me through that experience. And therefore, I'm here today by his grace and only his mercy. I'm just thankful that I'm in front of sisters, nervous as I might be, that understand what I'm talking about. Being in situations where you feel torn and you're not sure, God, why me? Why this? Why that? And he's there for us. And that's what I really wanted to bring home. The aspect of pride within us getting caught up in our own concerns, not to say that they're not concerns and not don't matter, but give them to him is what I'm trying to convey. By his grace, his mercy, I began to realize little bits of his word. You know how you read the Bible and you're new to it and you don't really understand all the words because you're like, but thou, they, and but you just take your time, get out of your own way, pride, and ask God for his grace to open up the scriptures. And it becomes beautiful, it becomes strength, it becomes your lifeline. And his word grew, and my own eagerness to understand and obey him grew as I started to realize and understand. I mean, granted, I was going through pain. I was going through different things that happen when you sustain a traumatic brain injury. But it was important to always stay focused on the fact that I had come only so far by his grace and mercy. I had only done all of that by his grace and mercy. I previously hadn't considered it being God, all about God. And it was all new. Me becoming disabled, me learning that my pride was nowhere in the equation. It was about God. It was about his love for me. It's all about my Lord and Savior. And that wonderful, poignant scripture, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Being in a wheelchair out in the world is not an easy thing. I can get out of the chair. I can be in the chair. My body's been through a lot, so sometimes I need to sit. Sometimes I still need help with things, like we all need help with things sometimes. But the thing is that coming from a meek place, a humble place, a simple place, is a profound gift, actually, because it allows you to be in a submissive role, which is pleasing to God and important, I believe, to God. I mean, we all want to, for me, I'm going to speak on my own. We are troubled on every side. This is 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 10. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. These things are by God's grace. These things, feeling nervous in front of you ladies, trying to convey my thoughts and feelings and the things that I've gone through, these things are lessons and assistance. Only God gets us through each one of these different things, being torn down, feeling like, why me, feeling prideful. It's important that we understand that we can rely on God. Francis, please read Philippians 4. As I kept healing and kept getting better, going to rehab, there was a gentleman, I started doing volunteer work at CIL in Berkeley, Center for Independent Living, that is. And there was a man there. He arrived at the end of the day. And to that time, I was still asking God why. I was still going to church. I was still seeking. So I made myself busy. That's why I was volunteering. And this gentleman came in, and he was in a wheelchair, and he could not talk. He could only point to letters on his lap. He didn't want to have one of those electronic things that speak for people. He could only point to letters. And he was looking for housing. And he was looking for information on health care as well. And it made me realize not just how blessed and thankful that I need to be, that I am in that moment, but it made me realize that, but for the grace of God, there go I in all different types of ways and different things that I'm trying to attempt to do. And that motivated me so much and made me so thankful, because beyond being prideful about being stared at on BART, being assumed about based on the way I walk, of being in a wheelchair, not getting beyond all that and having the ability to thank God that I woke up that morning, that I'm able to breathe in and out, that I am able to speak to you today. And focusing on that, and that's God's strength, that's God's love every day. Focusing on Christ for refuge and peace. The Lord will give strength. Psalms 29:11 says the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people. See, as I'm going and questioning and looking through the Bible and going to church, and I'm thinking about, Lord, why me? But then your scripture says this, and I kind of understand it. Look, things like, I think it means this, and Lord, please help me understand, open up my understanding. And I was seeking refuge and support from him, and he gave it to me in peace, a sustaining peace. Ephesians 4, 1 and 2 says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. We must seek his will, his way, and trust in his time. Jehovah Jireh, our provider, because he provided me with just that. By his mercy, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. My body has gone through a great deal. I am thankful for my wheelchair, leg brace, cane. It feels great to be able to stand or to sit down when I need to. I have been able to heal more naturally staying away from the pharmaceuticals those doctors are so ready to prescribe. The double vision I have reminds me to gently thank God and trust each day that I can actually see. There are times when I fall short. There are times when I get it completely wrong, etc. And so I must stay prayerful always. From junior college through graduate school, doctors have been astounded. Then no one could tell my mother I was able to would come out of the coma on life support, but I am here by His grace and His mercy. I believe it's a blessing to seek a career that deals with providing assistance to people with limitations, to support and educate them, their family members, and their care providers. Francis, please read for Job.
Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty, for he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee.
When I choose pride, my focus is no longer on God. And remember, God is everything, so we need to focus on Him. Blessed are the meek. The new King James Version says gentle for meekness. I like that. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That's Matthew 5, 3, and 10. It's important to understand that meekness doesn't necessarily come easy in different situations in life. If we seek it and ask God, place it at His feet, instead of, I think this, I'm not saying that we shouldn't depend on ourselves in some way, shape, or form, but God gives us direction in His Word, through His Word, for everything. The Bible is the blueprint, not our pride, not my pride. Sitting up here in front of you right now is a stretch for me. I'm not complaining. I'm thankful. I hope it assists someone in some kind of way. The things that I've said, that's what I've been praying for during this time of learning about pride, that He hates pride, that's part of what the devil did, right? I mean, he was very prideful and cast down because of his pride. Let's see. Francis, please read James 1.
My brethren, count it all joy.
Count it all joy.
When you fall into diverse or various temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work,
amen,
that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
Why me? Jesus paid for my sins with his life, that I might have him, that I might give him all the glory, all the glory. Peace be with each of you. Now I'd like to open up the floor, and I'd like any of you to speak or ask or say, if you don't have anything to say, that's fine too. But I believe that this is a time for us to encourage, to strengthen, iron sharpens iron, and to be with one another if you so choose, to speak on pride and what you feel in terms of pride. If you feel like saying anything. Does anyone have anything to say? Yes?
He stepped up.
Up to you.
Did you guys get that mic on yet?
Okay. Hello, Janine, first of all. Oh. Now? Okay. Okay.
Yes, on that.
Oh, okay. Janine, okay, first of all, I thank God so much for who He's made you to be and what He has taken you through, because we've not, most of us haven't gone through that, but only Him knows what you've been through. And what rejoices my heart as you were speaking is that my aunt went through like brain surgery. She had a brain tumor, but my aunt is a very prideful woman. So I thought that as she went through surgery, coma, that she would be a different person. But to my surprise, when she came out, she was even like more, like worse than she was. So she was very prideful. But I thank God because the Lord used it to, like the Lord gave me grace. Instead of getting angry, taking care of her, I showed her love. That today she calls overseas and she's like, how are you doing? Thank you so much. That she never said when she was here. So what really touched my heart is how the Lord, like you are giving thanks for going through this and how the Lord has taken you all through. And I'm sitting here praying for my aunt that God would, she's older than you, but she's still into like her looks and being still prideful. So what you've shared with us has really touched my life, that I'm praying for her, that the Lord will, because before she came to U.S., everybody over there is a believer, right? Like likewise here. But when you come and live with them, you really know who is who by their fruits. So after going through surgery, and my aunt is still the same person, and I'm looking at you like you went through it, but you're a different person. So I'm just praying that the Lord will touch her.
Amen.
Thank you.
That's a beautiful thing. It's profound in that God meets each one of us right where we're at. Isn't that amazing? And each day He wakes us up and He allows us to one more day to give Him glory, to do His will, to do His work, and He helps us right where we're at. Does anybody else have anything to say? Yes.
Thank you for all that you have shared tonight. One of the things that have really stood out was the fact that you said you're grateful for this experience. You know, you're grateful for all of the scars and the hurt and the pain that you had to go through. And, you know, we all can hear people's trials, but I hardly ever hear people say that they're grateful for having to go through something so traumatic and so hard. And that just shows that God really has, you know, brought you to a place of peace and humbleness and happiness. And that's really hard to do. And no matter how much we can't totally empathize, you know, completely with physically being there, but I definitely can feel, you know, what you have gone through to the point where you're able to sit here and be grateful for it all. And that really just stood out, the fact that you said you're grateful and you count it all joy, and the tone of your voice is just so sweet and humble. And I'm just grateful that you're here to share that, and I appreciate that, and God bless you.
Isn't it amazing how each one of us gets caught up each day with the little menial things of life? Someone might give us a look. Someone might say something. Just different things. Isn't it amazing how if we place everything at God's feet and get beyond the small things, how much more full our life is, how much more peace we each can have. I'm not at all perfect. I'm not saying every day it's all good, it's a party. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I am so grateful that I became disabled with slow down, was still, had to be still, by becoming injured. Only because He chose me to show, allow me to be able to understand and to just make it real in my life each day. Thank you for listening to me. Does anybody else have anything to say? Yes. Yes.
And when you started to speak, I started to shake because everything you said is everything that I've gone through. The Lord also took me to the book of Job. It was chapters 33 to the end of the book. When you started to speak, I honestly started to shake right here because that's exactly that very day that I had the fall and ended up in emergency. I read Job 37, verse 7, which is, he seals up the hands of every man that everyone may know that it is his work. And I woke up and I thought, I was elated. I was all excited. I was going to church. I was going to go get a good parking space so I can get a good place to sit in church. That's all I was concerned about. So when I fell and then I ended up in the hospital, I woke up 5 hours later and my family was looking at me and I had no idea what happened to me. The doctor, I went to see my surgeon yesterday and he said, I didn't break a vein, I actually broke an artery. Because he said when he was in there washing my brain, trying to find where the source of the bleeding was, he could see the blood pulsating. So I had a lot of blood. So I'm not saying this to steal your thunder at all. I was actually sitting here thinking, should I not? But I just wanted to confirm your testimony because I have been asking the Lord, what is this for? Well, yesterday I talked to somebody that I have known for a long time. He and I came from Uganda together in 1980. And I told him what happened to me. And he said, it must be that God you pray to. And I said, you don't know the half of it. And everybody has been talking about my God because I've been a Christian for 16 years. The Lord has used me to bring one person to Christ, a young lady who is now about 28. She just got married last year. And I've been wondering, I think, Lord, you brought me out of my country. I didn't grow up poor or anything like that. I've been privileged all my life, and I've been wondering and asking the Lord, what is my purpose in life? So right now I'm wondering, what is this for? Because the doctor that dismissed me from the hospital said to me, how did you end up here? And I said, doctor, I wanted to ask you that same question because everybody at work thinks I have, you know, because I have the rule if it's man-made, don't eat it. So everybody was teasing me about that. Everything you do is pristine. How did you end up like that? Because nobody knew I didn't know what happened to me. But I just wanted to confirm your testimony that the Lord will, either for correction or for teaching, bring us through experiences. And he has a purpose for it. Yours is to serve others. I'm waiting for my commission. Thank you for sharing.
Thank the Lord for you too.
All my life I've been disabled from my right arm. And so growing up I struggled a lot. You know, people teasing me and things. I went through a lot of things. And what kept me though was being raised in a Christian home, to be honest. I knew that God was real and alive and I survived a lot. When people told me I couldn't do stuff, I was more determined to do it. And I thank the Lord because it did keep me humble. It gave me compassion for others. I didn't like other people being teased, no matter how different they were. And still to this day, I raise my children. Don't you make fun of other people. You know, you have respect. You know, they have a soul. They're a human being, no matter how different they are. And I thank the Lord for you because I wanted to do a study myself. But because of my own insecurities, because of my disability, I didn't have the courage, like you did, to go up there. So I thank God for you because you made me feel today that it's okay. Thank you, sister.
Amen, amen. And you know that scripture, Proverbs
Proverbs 6:22, train up a child in the way he should go. I had no idea. God, why me? And I was coming out of a coma.
With one hand, I learned to drive.
Amen. I can tie my shoe with one hand.
Okay. I tie my shoe. I do everything with one hand. So I thank the Lord for that.
These testimonies, to listen to your sisters, because each one of us has moments of why me and not feeling strong and well, I should do better than this, I should have better than this, I should give it to God. We all go through things. He understands us and meets us exactly where we are, whether it's extreme or minimal. Yes, sister.
Hi. I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about, you're sharing about the disabilities that we can visibly see. And now I'm beginning to think about those disabilities that we as women have that nobody can see. Amen. And I think about how you talked about, you know, the concern over what you look like on the outside, not being able to wear heels. And I ministered to my girlfriend who died 2 years ago of cancer, and she had broken her hip and could not wear high heels. And I remember shopping with her and how important it was to find shoes that were cute enough so she could feel comfortable in flat shoes and still feel girly and all of that. And how she always wore extensions and weaves, and the day came when she lost her hair. Mm-hmm. And we had to wear a wig. She continued to wear a wig. And I said, take the wig off. And she couldn't because of the disability we could not see. So the hair was gone, but yet there was something inside that was broken, mm-hmm, that she wanted to cover and conceal and to hide behind. Mm-hmm. I myself went to the beauty supply store the other day, and there was a woman outside at a table asking for money for homeless families, and I deal with homeless families. And I went in the store, and I did not ask her if she needed anything, and I came out, and the Spirit nudged me, and He said, you didn't ask. And I said, do you need anything? And I went into the beauty supply. She said, yes, I'd like a perm. She told me the name. I went in and I got the perm. And so I'm in the store getting what we need. And I come out and I'm having a conversation with the women in the store. And I applaud all of you sisters who wear your hair naturally. And I'm trying to make the transition and I'm not quite there because I'm still people pleasing. And so the Lord began to speak to me. The Holy Spirit began to speak to me and reveal to me what's going to happen when the day comes and the beauty supply stores are closed. Are you going to feel beautiful enough or confident enough to just be who you are and let the real you show no matter what? So what are you hiding from? So that's where I thank you for bringing, God used you tonight to continue to reveal to me about those disabilities that we cannot see.
Each one of us gets, we all, nobody else is you in this whole world.
Amen. I thank you too, Janine, for your testimony. You were saying, you know, when you were asking the Lord, you know, why me? You know, I know that was a process that took you from that place to where you are now. You know, I went through that too. I think maybe all of us had to come to a place of brokenness, however, you know, God brought us to it. We can, in retrospect, just look back and see His providence in our lives, you know, before we even cared about Him. I think about the times every morning from where I lived in East Oakland to Alameda, speeding down 880 and 580, speeding, sleep deprived almost every morning. So why not me? You know, I know that was His grace and His mercy, you know, because I didn't even know Him. for most of those years. Why didn't I? You know, I should have been. You know, I was crazy in my driving, pedal to the metal. You know, so he found other ways to bring me, you know, not so much physical. You know, I'm going through the physical stuff now maybe, but, you know, just emotionally. Man, do you know what I mean? He had to break Virginia, because I think all of us, before we come to the we're proud, we're prideful. We're all full of pride and vanity. We are. I think it's just our makeup. And he has to break that. He has to. So, you know, some of us, you know, we may be full of ourselves and go walk around like we're all that and we're beautiful and blah, blah, blah. And others of us, like my sister, you know, we're insecure and we're covering it up in another way. And we're trying to please everybody because of that insecurity. Either way, you know, it's pride. So I thank God, you know, that he has brought us all to this place where we recognize, you know, that we had to come to the end of ourselves before we could embrace him as our Lord and Savior. So thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Over here, come to Melody. Melody.
I just wanted to say how thankful I was to just hear your testimony and everything. Of course, what everybody else had said, and it just reminds me, you know, to be slow to speak and quick to listen. I'm not sure if I said that right, but God is just good, and knowing that God brought you through that, and how I've, you know, felt this just being hurt, you know, thing. And then on some days I say, Melody, you know, it could be far worse. So what is your problem? But yet at the same time, you know, you want to sometimes have a pity party and feel sorry about the small things when it's just good to be in the Lord and to be thankful for that. And I thank you for reminding me and just really saying it so eloquently. I appreciate your thoughts and everything that you had to say. Thank you.
You are my hero. You inspire me every time I see you. Some Sundays where I get off from work and then God's like, I'm tired, but I press on and then I see you. You just inspire me. Just thank you, God, that I still, you know, came, and you're just my hero. And it is so good to see you. Just keep pressing on for the Lord.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I too went through that why me stage. But this song came to me, and I'm just going to read the verses of it, the first verse. In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children alone. Where waters cool flow, bathes the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children alone. Here it is. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through great fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives us a song in the night season and all the day long. See, when we go through these things, it's not for us. We have to go through the test and get an A so we can teach the next one how to go through and get an A. So that's what you're doing, and I thank you.
All I want to say is thank you for helping me to put in perspective my problems that I came in here with tonight. Thank you very much.
True confession is good for the soul. And so I'm confessing. I had an appointment with two doctors today. and felt so overwhelmed. And with the second one, I was mad. I was just angry. I told my sister about it, and I guess I wouldn't have called it a pity party, but that's what it was. And so when you started sharing, and I was thinking, girl, what are you complaining about? You have nothing to complain about. And so thank you for putting it in perspective. And before now, I've been saying, okay, well, I just want God to get the glory out of it and all this stuff. And meant it. But today was harder. So it's just helped me to put it in perspective, and that I still want him to get the glory out of this life and whatever, you know, whatever it is that's going on in my body. But I also had a question for you. I know that you said that you were in the book of Job and how that helped you. Was there anything specific that kind of pushed you from one side to the other? Did you know when there was like a, you know, you kind of got through your, I understand it's a process, and I know that that's one of the things that the Lord is teaching me, process. I hate process. I do. But was there at some point when there was like a break and you were okay? You just knew, you know what I'm saying? Do you understand what my question is? Okay.
Definitely a process. It's definitely learning, making mistakes, and embarrassing, getting embarrassed, and reading the Bible, and oh, I totally got that one all wrong. The break, it was a series of breaks, because again, it's a process. I would have to say there wasn't just one day where I was like, oh, you know what, honey, I am saved. It's all, I'm going to heaven. Mm-mm. It's a process, and he works with us each day. He's with us. Ask him. Just talk to him. That's what I have major conversations with him in my head. We are to pray consistently. Pray without ceasing. But there were definitely times that I can reflect back on scriptures, messages, experiences where I referred, but I do counseling for Institute on Aging in San Francisco. It's the friendship line. And there's been times we're not supposed to go at all. You know, people don't want to talk about religion in the world. They don't want to talk about God. They don't want to be held liable for different people's beliefs. But people will come into your life in different situations and different scriptures and different things, and all of these things culminate. They gather up into one step. It's like building, going up some stairs, and you get stronger and more confident in His grace, in His word, in His mercy, and you know that you know, because He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. And so as these things happen, and you make these mistakes and embarrassments and different things happen, then count it all joy. Count it all joy and keep it moving and place it all at His feet.
I just wanted to thank you because I personally can see pride in all around me, but I cannot see it in myself. But when I look back over my life and I ask myself, why me, in the situations that have occurred in my life, I find that the restraining object for me had always been pride, because I grew up in a matriarchal family. I didn't know what
men's jobs were in a relationship, because there was no grandfather, there was no great-grandfather, there was no father. I don't know, they kind of showed up and did what they had to do and then moved on and let the women take care of the raising. So I don't actually have any memory of what their job was in our lives. And then to find out that God was a man, and I knew nothing about the father or what the job of the father was. And I had a really big struggle with this problem with Eve in the garden and Adam, you know, being the ruler and all of the ramifications of that. And pride just came up there one day and I just got into a struggle and I argued with the Lord, you know, I'm better than a guy because I've had to be. I've taken care of myself and I've done what needed to be done. And, you know, I'm all that and then some. And from that point on, it's just been a breaking. Every time I'd come to the word, there'd be a breaking. And I'd say, okay, Lord, wait a minute. You're supposed to encourage me, not knock me down. I got this thing, you know. But it would always be a breaking. But I never really thought about it as pride until actually this evening. So I thank you for that.
I guess I was one of those why me sisters too, all my life. But it wasn't until I start walking with Christ that I said, why not me? Because I've been through so much. And when Christ came into my life, maybe I can be a light to someone else that's going through what I went through. So it was good. You know, I just said, why not me all the time? But since I've been walking with Christ, I've never considered myself as a prideful person because I had such low self-esteem and, you know, easily to be used. And that's really not the case now. But now the people that I used to hang around with, I don't do those things anymore. So I don't like being around those people anymore. And sometimes I have to really catch myself, am I full of myself, you know, because I don't like being around those people, but I love them, you know. And I don't want to be like that because I can't help anybody being like that. So I'm wondering, am I prideful, you know, and I don't want to be like that. I always have to ask the Lord to deliver me from, because to me it feels ugly. And I've never really considered myself as beautiful. And I've always felt ugly inside. And to feel ugly, I don't know what I'm trying. I know what I'm trying to say, but I'm not getting it out right. But I thank the Lord for not seeing me as everybody see me, because it could be so easy to be full of myself. But when I get to the point where I don't want to be around certain people, I feel ugly. And I don't like feeling like that. And I have to ask the Lord to really deliver me from that. So is that prideful?
Christ hung out with sinners, hung out with people that weren't the pretty people. And just being able to be, when I volunteer and I deal with people that have different issues, emotional, financial, different situations, it's not about me. It's not about the way I feel. Getting outside of yourself, getting outside of your mind, getting outside of your intention and focusing on this person needs some food. What is pleasing to God in this moment? Giving it to Him has helped me in those moments, because I don't want to be holier than thou, super religious. And I ask Him to guide my steps tonight, coming here, sitting in front of you guys, trying to talk kind of low. Not sure if I'm really, you know, guide my steps, Lord. Help me with my words. Help me give you glory. I would just suggest that you go there.
We'll theologize that here in a minute, okay? We'll take that question that Carissa asked, and we'll do a little theologizing. I'm going to give one more.
Okay. I just wanted to say thank you for your story as well, because I feel like I can be prideful sometimes as well. I think because I'm insecure about certain things also. And I just want to thank all of you guys for your testimonies about, like, it's just, it led you to Christ, you know? And pride can kind of lead you to say, like, it's not about you. I'm sorry, I'm getting all cracky. I'm just nervous when I talk sometimes. But, like, sometimes I'll call my mom, like, a superwoman, because I think she's so amazing. But she'll say, no, it's not me. You know, it's God. And like you, He led you to be closer to Him in that way.
We know exactly what she means, don't we? Yes, we do. Y'all got to fix this, brother. So we're going to do a little theology before you guys get out of here. I'm going to take that proposition and work with you. Challenge your thoughts a little bit. I got it. You can stay right there. Isn't that a good contemplation? So let's there you go. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. And God bless you, sisters, too. You know, form is very important. Form is very important where there is substance behind it. Form is very important where there is substance behind it. Let me help some of you just in case you didn't know what that was about. I was thinking about today when I was stacking my wood to light a fire after the class tonight. I go home and I'll sit by the fireplace and I'll meditate on how the night went and get prepared for Friday night Bible study. So I set some logs, and as I was setting logs, I was thinking about how important character is, how absolutely crucial character is. And I say that to say this, for you to stand up and applaud our sister, it depicts the desire and the aspiration for character, We don't have to do it for every sister, but I understood exactly what you did when you stood up. See, if we take the opposite route of character, then we're going to just be fools. We're going to be buffoons. We're going to be disrespectful. We're going to be arrogant. We're going to be self-centered. It's going to be all about us, and we're going to devolve into beasts. You guys understand what I'm talking about? And let me speak a little bit more deeply into it. I want to address the pride question and define it and see if that'll help us be able to practicate it, because it's going to be important to practicate our lesson tonight. We won't be much longer. I was thinking about my own children. I have 8 children and two grandsons and a third one on the way that I found out. So I'll be having 3 grandchildren, 3 grandboys here soon. And I was thinking, Lord, give me the grace to help me be a better grandfather to my grandsons, because they are really going to go through it in the next 15 or 20 years. I've done all I could with my children, all that I could, good, bad, and ugly. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And what a blessing it is for Melody's daughter to speak up tonight. Isn't it a joy when, you know, you've been fighting with your kids all your life and then they stand up and talk about you being a superwoman? Isn't that great? Those are the mixed blessings we get. I love it. I really do. But I want to share something with you. If we don't continue to press toward the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ, ladies, listen to me. We will devolve. We will descend. We will lose what we have, and then we will become something far worse than we are. Conformity to Christ is a daily process. It is a daily process. Conformity to Christ. And I've talked to those of you who are part of our theology class, some of you are part of Grace, about the principle of taking away and the principle of receiving. To him that hath, to the person that hath, more shall be given. To the person that has, more shall be given. That's a promise from God. That's a promise from God. God promises to bless those who recognize what they have. To him that hath, to him that hath, more shall be given. God promises to bless those who recognize and acknowledge what you have. Never neglect to recognize what you have. I want that point to be pressed home to you for the moment. I want you to be blessed by this as we think through this issue of pride. I'm going to ask what the definition of pride is. I'm going to give you the antithesis of it so that you can have a very practical piece of knowledge to take home with you. Because every one of us needs to be able to take the message we heard from our sister and make personal application. To make personal application. Or we have totally missed the exercise tonight. But what I want to say to you is, right now, I want you to think. Here's the question I want you to consider. What do you have? That's what I want you to consider right now. What do you have? What do you have? What do you have? I don't want you to answer that. I want you to think it through in your head. What do I have? I want that to resonate with you all night long. What do I have? What did God give me? What did he give me? What do I possess? That's a gift from God. The menial things. Our sister reminded us so vividly and eloquently of the gift of mobility and the gift of physical stability and the gift of articulation. She reminded us of rationale and reason and logical thought, and the ability to just have a conversation. She reminded us of all that. And what was a challenge to some of us is that we fail to recognize what we have when we go into why me. Am I telling the truth? When we go into why me, we're ready to abandon everything that we have. So before I go on, I want this to resonate deep in your soul. What do I have? Because I don't want what you have to be taken from you. And it can be taken from you. It can be taken from you. What you have can be taken from you. What you have can be taken from you. And we know that because we're mortal creatures. Our sister Bonnie spoke about going into a temporary state of unconsciousness to wake up to realize that she had fallen and hit her head on the concrete and was bleeding from an artery in her brain and could have died. God blessed her to go into a state of unconsciousness, and then for her to be in America instead of some third world country that did not have the facilities that we have here to recover her as quickly as he did. For us, it's a small thing because for a few days she wasn't with us and all of a sudden she's back now. But that could have been a huge ordeal. She could have lost a lot of stuff. She could have lost a lot of stuff. And she would have had to ask the question in the process of going through what she went through. What did I have that I neglected so that I'm going through this, even though in the process I may recover? Because, you know, God takes things away from us if we're his children in order to give them back when we get our attitude right. So what I want you to do right now, ladies, is I want you to ascertain the question, and I want you to walk with this, because I want you to go to another level of appreciation of the Jehovah Jireh in your life, the one who provides for you. Thank him for what you have. Because when we get stuck in the pity party of why me, we have completely failed to realize what we have. What do I have? When people find themselves in the takeaway mode, in that negative experience where things are systematically being taken from them, it is often because they are blinded to the privileges that they have, and their experiences now enter into the reverse. And until they come to a place of contentment, and I'm not saying that in a superficial way, I'm talking about in a real, authentic, I'm talking about in a dogged, trust Christ for the moment kind of way. I mean, I'm talking about like right now. It doesn't matter what's going on tomorrow. Right now, I'm going to trust Christ for the moment. Do you know that tomorrow is not guaranteed to any one of us? Don't you know tomorrow is a myth? It's ethereal. It's vaporous. It has no reality to it whatsoever. And I guarantee you, at least half of you right along with me are already compiling plans and schemes and goals that have infiltrated your spirit and started jacking you up already, and is based on a lack of reality. Now, that's not faith. That's not faith. And so what I want you to think through is, what do I have? I want you to really think that through. And once you start recognizing what you have, you will now be able to rightly assess God's favor in your life. And that's what God has called you and me to do. Thank God for what you have. Thank him for what you have. I know that you are going through troubles. We're all going through troubles. Like I said in the earlier, being a little facetious, you wouldn't even be here if you weren't going through troubles. We're all going through challenges. And that's why we could resonate so well with our sister's message. But I want you to think about that, because some of you will be receiving more. You will be receiving more over the weeks and months to come. But when you receive those things that are coming into your life from God, what will determine whether or not they stay and prosper and become a blessing to others is your capacity to recognize that you have. See, because a lot of people, ladies, live in the have-not world. I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't have the other thing. I don't have this. I don't have that. And in that world of have not, is filled with ungratefulness and unthankfulness, and it is totally contrary to the way of the Spirit of God. There is no child of God that is completely bankrupt. That's contrary to the nature of God. And in fact, every child of God actually has all of the resources necessary for him to be a full blessing to God, to others, and to themselves, if they would but be patient and wait on the Lord. I'm just simply sharing that with you so that you don't fall prey to what pride can do. Pride can blind you to what you have. It can blind you to it until it's taken away. So now let's actually apprehend the question. You know, am I prideful? What is pride? What is pride? So I'm going to give you the definition of pride, and I want to work with it for 10 minutes, and you guys can go home. You guys ready for the definition of pride? All right, this is going to help you. Pride is self-love. Pride is self-love. Yep. It's love of self. That's amazing, isn't it? It's love of self. I want you to grasp that now. It's love of self. This is going to be a very pragmatic definition for you, because, you know, pride is deceitful, right? It's so subtle and ambiguous, is what Carissa was saying. I don't know if I'm prideful. She could sense intuitively that having a desire not to be around people that act a fool, and yet loving them can be rooted in a wrong motive, right? It could also be rooted in a right motive. But we can know that not desiring to be around people that act a fool, yet loving them, is in a wrong motive when the motive for not being around them is rooted in myself versus in other. So pride will operate out of self-preservation, protection of my own resources, my own reputation, my own attitude, whatever it is that constitutes the me, the ego, the self. Are you with me so far? Now, that's called pride. That's pride. Listen, the most humble person you meet can be filled and reeking with pride, especially if they tell you they're humble. As soon as they say, well, I'm humble, just slap them upside the head. Let me see how humble you are when I slap you upside your head. For those of you who don't know me, I'm weird like that, so I want to find out how humble you are, because a humble person will accept getting slapped upside the head by me. I'm not that humble, so don't go to try to slap me upside my head. I'll slap you back. But I want you to work with this definition for a moment, because you have to when we're dealing with theological concepts that are really at the center and the core of our calling and desire, they have to leave the realm of the abstract and take on an extremely pragmatic significance. They have to be practical. That's why Sister Caressa was searching for what she knew intuitively was a connection between what was said by our speaker and what she struggles with in her own life. And it was in conjunction. It was the antithesis. It was love of other. It was love of other. It was love of other. See, Christ loved sinners. He didn't condone sin. He didn't promote sin. He didn't wink at sin. He didn't blink at sin. Sin was the most obnoxious thing to God. To Christ, sin was a heinous assault against his heavenly Father. But he was able to contain that sense of holiness and still dwell with vile, I'm talking vile sinners like you and me. Can you imagine Christ hanging out with us? You and I, I'm talking about you and me. We are the vilest of sinners. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about oxymoronic, Christ and me. That's oxymoronic. But he could do it because he didn't operate out of self-love. He operated out of love of other. He loved his Father, and his Father desired the salvation of sinners. It was his love for his Father that allowed him to override any potential temptation to preserve himself. And it was his love, his authentic love for sinners, that allowed him to approach them, even though there was a part in him, like you're saying, Carissa, I hate what they do. Are you guys hearing what I'm saying? So pride is self-love. The antithesis of pride is authentic and genuine love. Authentic and genuine love is the only power that you and I can tap into that allows us to do something in the interest of others and not in the interest of ourselves. But we generally always calculate whether or not we're going to do a thing based on whether or not it benefits us. I'm telling the truth. We generally always determine and calculate, deliberate, whether we're going to do a thing on the basis of how much it's going to benefit us or how much it's going to take from us. So operating out of love, out of divine love, out of God's love, requires you and I to be able to tap into a resource beyond ourselves, a grace beyond ourselves, and then ask for God to actually allow that grace to change our attitude so that we can do those things that are contrary to nature, and that is love people. Love people. Otherwise, we will operate out of a subtle pride of self-love. And religion is full of it. Religion is full of it. Do you know why they killed Jesus? Self-pride. Because when Christ came, he demolished all of their taboos. He broke through all of their facades. He annihilated all of their assumptions, their arguments. He destroyed every one of their so-called biblical basis for what it meant to get right with God. I mean, he just walked through and annihilated, and it created in them such an antipathy. Antipathy. You know what that is? An internal hostility towards him, because he was pulling down walls and exposing all of them for the charade that they were operating in. He made them vulnerable by his conduct. See, they had erected a system of hierarchical, legalistic steps to get right with God. And Christ walked around those steps. And he engaged with people of whom the rulers of the church basically said, these people will never make it to heaven. And Christ being able to actually approach those people and engage with them on the most benevolent level demonstrated the lie that the rulers of the church had perpetrated, because they wanted to control who entered into the kingdom and who didn't. And it exposed them for being filled with pride. This is why he could say, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your fathers you will do. I know you. The love of God is not in you. That's what he said in John chapter 8. I know you. The love of God is not in you. You are going about to kill me because I'm telling you the truth. And so when we think pride through on its pragmatic level, you have to think it through in all of the subtleties of the process. And what I mean by the subtleties of the process, sometimes pride is blatant, it's ugly, it's obvious. You know it. It just shows up as this big old monster telling you, come on, let's just go this way. And you will act out of it in just open rebellion against God. Sometimes pride is a lot more subtle and incremental. It doesn't mind taking time building a strategic agenda to help you accomplish your goal, even at the destruction of others. Pride will allow you to go the long route of building your agenda so that you don't appear to be seeking the demise of others in the process. It's called self-love. Pride is self-love. That's the battle we have to fight against all the time. So when we enter, and it's in our members, okay? You understand that? That's part of our fallenness. So when we enter into this tension, it's a tension. Accept that. Saved folk are proud folk too. You believe that? Saved folk are proud folk too. Ask Peter. God had to hit him upside his head twice. He slept a lot. One morning he was on the top of his mother's house, sleeping on a roof, and God gave him a vision. Told Peter, all the barriers are down. Eat everything that's moving, Peter. Eat everything that's moving. Possum, squirrel, cat, dog. I know some of you guys are, cat is so good. Y'all all messed up now, aren't you? All messed up. I know you are. Possum. Peter, eat it all. Not me, Lord. Remember that? Not me, Lord. And the Lord had to say, Peter, I'm not talking animals. I'm talking about receive sinners indiscriminately, because you guys have categorized sinners. You put them in different categories, clean and unclean. Don't you know that all y'all are unclean, Peter? I'm the only one clean. Are you guys hearing me? Amen. And Peter struggled and under anointing went to a Gentile's house. And he had to immediately tell those Gentiles, because he struggled with his Jewish brethren when they went inside. Now, we Jews, we don't do this. But the Lord, he told me in a dream to come. So he was actually admitting that the reason he's coming is because he had a revelation from God. It was not intuitive. It was not part of his intrinsic makeup. He didn't quite like it. He was just doing what God told him. See, and you can still see how he struggled. This is an apostle. Now, you know, if the apostles are not by nature infallible, the Pope certainly is not infallible. And then we get a couple decades down the line, and Brother Paul had to jack Peter up again. Remember? All week long, Peter eating hamburgers. Then here come the Jewish brethren, and on Saturday go back to falafel bread, right? And Paul said, no. Peter struggled, didn't he? You know what he struggled with? Self-love. Self-love instead of love of others. He experienced the grace of liberty, eating the pork chops and the hog maws and the chitlins and the... He enjoyed it all week long, and then when his Jewish brethren came, he got trapped again. He got trapped, and he sought to preserve himself instead of let the love continue to flow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so very critical to understand that when we are talking about pride, we are talking about anything that is glaring as well as subtle, and it's a battle we have to all fight against. Every one of us have things within us for which we can be proud. Every one of us. Every one of us. So the lesson is good. Got 5 minutes for questions if you guys have any. 5 minutes for questions, then we'll close in prayer. Miss Holloway.
So that's what you should do. She didn't ask, what do I have?
When the devil came with the dialectical process and pointed to her, saying to her what she didn't have, she should have said, that's right, but let me show you what I do have. Let me show you what I do have. What I do have, I won't even exhaust this for all eternity. See? She got caught up in what she didn't have. Now, you know what I'm saying is so critical, so germane to your walk in the Spirit, your confidence, your joy, your fullness, a proper perspective. Because this one here is what flips you. The one that flips you and turns you upside down and turns you into a, you know, not so godly woman. You know what I'm talking about? Is it, I don't have this, I don't have that. Now, you know, this is it, right here. I saw a hand up, okay.
I wanted to find out, last week, you said something about you don't like everyone or you don't love everybody. Can you explain that to me?
Who don't love everyone?
Am I the only one that heard it? Or did you say, I don't like everyone? What did you say last week?
I said, I don't like everyone?
Yeah,
I don't. There are some people I don't like.
A new believer.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not a new believer, though.
Oh, no, not me. Like...
Just explain.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are some people who are given over to conduct that is so unbecoming that I don't like them. There is nothing for which I should like them. If their behavior threatens a person or a group or me, why should I... Why? Here's the premise of the question. You don't have to like everybody. Not everybody is likable. Now, first of all, let me just clear the floor. There are people you don't like. Right? So if there's anybody here that says that I love everybody, you are lying between your teeth. You don't love everybody. You ought to love everybody. I ought to love everybody, but we don't. I'm thankful that I don't have to in order to be saved. Are you guys hearing what I'm saying? I'm thankful that I don't have to love everybody in order to be saved, or else I'd have to be saved by works. Yeah. Yes. There we go. I got to operate out of love of others. Self-pride would cause me to build a structure that helps me avoid them. But if God is calling me to witness the gospel to them, now I've got to share the gospel with them rooted in a love that is alien to my nature. It's a gift from God. It's a divine grace that I, remember what we were talking about in prayer on Tuesday, Sister Holloway was saying that she was struggling with a loved one. And we've been talking about it for a season. And then she said, one day she just, out of the blue, said to that loved one, do you need a ride? Would you like me to take you somewhere? And it shocked her to death that she said that. I said, that was the grace of God. Have you ever had God to actually move your heart to do something that shocked you? My goodness, that couldn't have been for me. I would have never, ever given this guy a ride. Right? So when we're talking about the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost and therefore operating out of that love of God, we are not therefore suggesting or implying that intrinsically I am what I'm becoming. The dichotomy of the Christian is that we are both sinful and righteous at the same time. And the reality is that there are some people that are hard to deal with. They have such radical antisocial behavior patterns that I'm not going to waste my time trying to have a relationship with them. They got 8 billion people in the world. Lord, it ain't got to be me. See, now I can just like start right here and work with Jonah. Brother Jonah, Jonah said, look, man, I'm not going. I ain't going. Look, I'm going to get a ticket. I'm going the other way. That, see, me and Jonah were on the same page. Jonah did not like the Ninevites. He didn't like them before. He didn't like them during. And he didn't like them afterwards. God used him to preach the gospel and the whole nation got saved. And he still went to the top of the hill to wait for the wrath of God to come on him. And when it didn't come, he started arguing with God. Didn't he? Did he start? I love Jonah. I think I'm going to preach another series on Jonah. Liberate some real Christians around here. He has such a comfortable relationship with Christ that he could be true to his internal angst. Now, there's always two sides to the picture, isn't it? The Ninevites were atrocious, vile people who oppressed and destroyed Israel constantly. And if you were to use an analogy, it would be like some family that you know constantly putting your family members in trouble. And all you know all your life were this particular family always troubling your family. It set your family back. It kept you guys from prospering. It kept you guys from living peaceful. The larger part of your memory is that it was filled with fear and anxiety and struggle because this family down the street was always assaulting you. There's nothing in you that's going to naturally gravitate towards loving them. As far as you're concerned, they could disappear. Am I telling the truth? Just disappear. You don't want them to go to hell, but you do want them to disappear. Right? Disappear. Am I too honest for you? Am I too honest for you? Because, well, and the point is that you and I don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be perfect to be saved. We have to be in Christ who is perfect, and his perfection is ours, and that gives us breathing room. Do you understand that? Breathing room. Breathing room. It gives us breathing room. And then we understand the power of God working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, where I don't have that capacity. I don't even have that process of thinking. My mind doesn't register like that. If I'm doing something that gives God glory, it's God doing it through me. I don't mind saying that. Do you? I don't mind saying that whatsoever. It's not that I'm taking any sort of gleeful joy in the fact that there are people that I don't like. I'm just being honest with you. It's called liberty in Christ. It's called reality. It is what it is. Do you understand that? It is what it is. And Jonah was able to walk in that liberty, going back home to Palestine, you know, after his mission. And he didn't say nothing to nobody when he got back home. He kind of hoped nobody ever found out that he had a mission to the most hostile enemy of the people of God, because he would have had trouble going back home. You understand what I'm getting at? The God of all grace loved Jonah, and he loved the Ninevites. And he saved Jonah and the Ninevites, even though Jonah did not like them and they didn't like him. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? All right. I saw one hand up. I'm going to, Ms. Guidry, then we're going to close in prayer.
And pray for those who despitefully use you. I put that to the test once with a lady that I worked with who seemed to always want to dump her problems at my feet. And I didn't know how to get along with her. And I started praying for her. I didn't like her. I didn't like praying for her. But I prayed so earnestly that she would wake up in a good mood, that she would have a good day. And I just got to really focusing on so much her good well-being.
That's right.
That it changed the way that I received what she dumped at my
That's right.
Death.
That's right.
And the Lord gave me an opportunity to see how he worked that for me and for her. And that I was at work at 3 o'clock in the morning and she had left her plane tickets in her desk, and I was the only one in the building that could open it up and give it to her.
That's right. See how it goes? But to close it out on this, a lot of times when we're dealing with our dislikes and people that we don't like, it really is the fact that those people are exposing some weakness in us. We don't like to be exposed in our weakness. And then when we actually find ourselves operating in the spirit where we obey the word to pray, then we begin to see how you as a child of God are far more advantaged than that person that you don't like. Far more advantaged. Far more advantaged. Let's stand and pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your mercy and your goodness to us. I thank you for all my sisters who have come out tonight. Bless us, Lord, with this message. Bless us with this contemplation. Make us all that you have called us to be. Grant us, Lord, the grace to be able to operate according to your spirit in love and in truth. Help us to know our limitations. Help us to know our weaknesses. Help us to know when a thing is broken, it's broken. If you don't fix it, it won't get fixed. Help us, Lord, to understand where it comes to an end. At the same time, Lord, we are pressing forward and we need your grace every day to put one foot in front of the other. We can't do it without you. It won't get done without you. We need you every hour. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We thank you for his imputed righteousness. And we thank you for the work of the Spirit of God taking place in our heart. As we go our way, give us traveling mercies. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.